Welcome back to the Blindsiders. I am Ben. I'm here with Dylan and Brian to talk about the finale of Survivor 45, closing out our fifth official season as a podcast. We've kept it going. Really strong finale, I think. Really strong winner. Really strong season overall, from my opinion. I don't know what you guys have to say before we jump into details.
Definitely the best of the new era seasons. I say that with complete and utter confidence. I thought the finale was good. The season definitely peaked probably towards the middle, kind of like a middle latter half before we're getting into like the third act of the show, I think. But I love the season. I think it was a great cast. I think the storytelling was really well done. I think that there was a lot of people to root for, even people that I maybe were rooting against. I like to root against because I like them. I just was rooting against them as a player. I love this season. I love it comparatively to even some older seasons too. I think it was very, very good.
Yeah, I totally agree. It really like reinvigorated my love for Survivor. If you're a longtime listener, you know I've had plenty of complaints about the new era, but many of them were addressed, and then the ones that weren't didn't feel so egregious this season, perhaps because the cast was so good, maybe because 90 minute runtime let us just get to know the cast a lot better, and that made me like them more. But I loved the season, you know, top to bottom. Thought it was super fun. D is a great winner. All time, you know, probably the best winner of the new era. I don't know if that's controversial to say. Marianne's still my favorite winner of the new era, but D, I think, objectively the best game played in this new era. And then, you know, I think I don't want to say anything too outrageous right now. Give me a little time, but I think she's a high tier winner overall for the franchise. Again, recency bias could just be getting to me right now, but I was very impressed with her game and what she did to get that W.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that like one of the I didn't know that they were I guess mostly reverting the final tribal council format to pre season 33, I guess, is where they changed it, which I was very happy to see. I've personally complained about the newer format where it's like open forum-y, where open forum just means like three people monopolize all the time. So I'm very happy that that changed. For me, D, I think I agree is the strongest winner of these five seasons, and strong winner overall. I think that the two things that I would, you know, potentially knock her down for is one, I think the cast overall, pretty weak. I'd say one of the weaker casts from a strategic standpoint that we've seen. So like, you know, from like a Kim Stradlin-esque style comparison point, like it's really hard to know if somebody is like just that good or if like it's just because everyone else was just that bad. You know, I think in this case, and in Kim's case, it's, you know, a little of column A, a little of column B. And also, she, you know, as we'll talk about, she does get really close to going home with the final five for, like, no reason at all, and, like, she could have been 100% safe. Those are the two main things that I would say knock her down for me, but still definitely a higher tier winner.
I think she's I don't even think it's debatable. She's a strong winner. On the face of it, though, I, without like sitting down and thinking about it, I don't consider her like higher tier. But I can see it. You know, when you sit down and you start comparing everybody, I can see the path to get there. I think just her game was, I mean, maybe muted isn't the right word, but she definitely played her game not as out in the open, which is probably why she won. She kept her cards close to her chest. She kept her two number ones. It's interesting because I think she was a clear winner. I'm very surprised how many votes Austin got. And I think she probably almost definitely won it with that reveal that she had lied to Austin. I think that that's like, I think it was clear at that point. I thought she had it just based on Austin's reaction and the jury's reaction. She's very strong. I think like a first few weeks into the season, I think we were saying the likes of like her and Julie had no chance of winning this game, if I remember correctly. I think that we at least I was ruling them out. But obviously I think it's a testament to the newer era is that I think you see a lot of people not necessarily come from behind from the beginning of the season to the end, but there was so much growth that had happened. And even for players, obviously, that didn't even win too. Like obviously you look at Emily. Emily's still my favorite from this season. I think she killed that at Final Tribal. I think she was great with the questions. And everybody was just so damn likable too. And so I don't know. I think the point you make though, Ben, like I think of everybody else being not as strategic is definitely docks her for sure. But I would love to see her in a returnee season too. I would love to see a lot of this cast in a returnee season because I think that a lot of them have space, they have room to grow. I thought the Keturah and Jake stuff this episode was so compelling. I think they were the stars of the show for me up until the end. I think it was kind of split up. First half of this episode was Jake and Keturah kind of being the bad news bears. And then the second half was like, hey, we obviously know one of these two people are going to win. How's that going to work out? It was just so compelling. And the hour and a half, the plan is to keep it. And I really hope that that's just for the remainder of the show, especially with like CBS. I don't think that we need to bring back like the Love Cruise or whatever that was that was coming up after Survivor last season. So, yeah, full steam ahead. I will say I'm a little underwhelmed, and we can get there too. I did think the trailer for next season was very underwhelming, but I think that it wasn't more so less of like a season trailer, more so of like just an introduction to the players. So I'm not completely out yet, but I did think that was a very lackluster a trailer. Somebody brought it up too on the Reddit that I swore I would never read, that I just read after every episode now. It seemed like that there were so many like artists and like influencers and stuff, at least that they showed in the trailer, which isn't super compelling to me. Give me more lore. I saw somebody else said all my bits now in this show are just people, what they said on Reddit. Somebody else said the theme next season is everybody saying they're a lawyer when they're not. So I think that works. In terms of Jake, I love Jake. I think that he's like such a lovable loser. It's crazy. I really fell for him. And I like Keturah a lot too. I for sure don't see Keturah at any point being able to win this game, but like maybe the people on the island really did love her. I think it was the same thing with Julie too. Julie's game definitely got better towards the end. I didn't think she had a winning game. If she got D out, she would have, but she never was able to take that jump. Same thing with Austin. Austin's game was much stronger than Julie's in my opinion, even though it fell apart at the end, but none of them were able to even think about taking that jump to take D out, which is a testament to her in the end, that she created those bonds so strong that people were essentially willing to just throw away their games or throw away $1 million to keep her friendship, which is insane. It's crazy. Cause most people, and I think she would have been fine if she got voted out and been friends, they should stuff like that. But she was just so strong socially that she was just able to play them like that. And that was really, really impressive. And so I am glad she won. Basically, I'm really happy she won. She's a strong winner, and I think maybe over time, comparatively, she will definitely be up there. She's just not for me right now.
Yeah. No, so my thing with I agree with most of what you said for sure. My biggest thing is looking at this final five round that ends up being like, in my opinion, the highlight of the finale, because I think everything else was kind of predictable for the most part, at least for me. I think that everybody at the final five made a mistake, at least a minor mistake. I would say the person who made the least mistake out of all the five of them was Austin, but it was completely accidental because Austin basically with his vote on Julie set up a scenario where D could be voted out without him getting blood in his hands, which is, I think, the only way he had a chance to win the season. So it's obviously that wasn't his intent. His intent was to vote out Julie, and he got what he wanted, and he also set it up where he got what he should have, or he almost got what he should have wanted. So he, I think, played that the least bad out of anybody. So I do agree. I think that Austin correctly gets a lot of, has gotten a lot of flack for being kind of snowed by D, you know, repeatedly, especially in the Sun game. But, you know, he was arguably the one who played that round the least bad, in my opinion. I don't know what you guys thought on that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really understand why him and D voted differently if they weren't, like, if he wasn't trying to do what you said. That wasn't super well explained. Maybe an exit press is getting cleared up, but certainly an amazing, like, series of events to where the underdogs actually have a situation where they can finally, after like fumbling the ball on every, you know, vote since the Caleb vote, they can finally seize control, and they still can't get it together for like a very straightforward thing. That's impressive, honestly. Like, it's insane and not what I wanted to see. But it was kind of like, wow, these two are even worse at Survivor than I possibly could have imagined.
Well, that's
like individually both horrible.
Yeah. So it's not even that simple, too. It was more so like Jake had the ball in his hand. He handed it off to D for no reason. And then D handed it back off to him for no reason. And then Keturah came up and knocked the ball out of his hand for no reason. So it was just like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I guess Keturah said like she didn't trust Jake, which, like, fine, but like, come on, you know, like, you got to do something. This is, it goes back to what we were talking about before, like way back when Caleb got voted off. It's like, you can get through Survivor, you can go really far and still have no chance to win. Yeah. And like, that seemed to be like her objective, was she cared more about going far than being able to win the game.
Yeah. We talk about like playing not to lose versus playing to win. Yeah.
Here's
like a concept in all strategy games, basically.
Here's my pitch that Jake is not a bad player. Here's my pitch. Okay. Let me pitch. I'm not going to come on here
and talk about how Jake is one of the worst players in the new era. So I'm glad to have a little bit of pushback.
Yes. I'm like, this is good. This is typical for me and Ben. We're always the ones that need. Brian is too much of a yes man. Ben and I are always, we always have opposing views, which is why we bring the views.
I'm a noted Xander hater, and I was going to come on here and say that Jake is like 10 times worse than Xander at Survivor.
Okay. All right. So this is going to be good because I heavily disagree. I don't think Jake's a good player. So there's a middle ground for me here. I think Jake all along always wanted to make the right move. He just never could execute the right move, which I think is different from a lot of other players that never make the right move, but then always end up making bad moves themselves. Telling Austin was a bad move, but it wasn't shown on the episode. So it's tough to like gauge if this was his plan all along. If he shows off the idol, he knows Austin's going to tell D. I don't think that that's like debatable. We knew Austin was going to tell D. Maybe that's because obviously we have a different insight, but his play at that point is he's always guaranteeing a vote off of him. Now, if he has the idol, obviously people will like Julie will think that maybe he doesn't have the idol and it's all bullshit, even if Austin and D is telling him that he has the idol. So at that point, he's basically flipping it on the Keturah, assuming that D and Austin are not going to vote for Julie. Which I think at that point is the right move if you are going to tell about the idol, which we all agree you should never, ever tell about the idol unless you know for a fact it is the right move. I don't know if it was the right move there, but at that point, he goes to Keturah, which was the right move there because there's no reason to go to Julie, Austin, or D seriously to try to make a move. The move for Austin obviously would have been the vote out D, but that wasn't even an option at that point. Goes to Keturah. They work out their whole thing. Keturah, who already burned him once, even though this was a stupid move early on with trying to save Caleb, of basically forcing rocks. She burned him on that, even though they're on the same tribe. We agree she should have tried to work with him, even though his idea was crazy. But at that point, it was maybe one of the only ideas because we knew that they weren't splitting up the other players that were in that vote. I forget who was in that vote. I think it was no, it's not relevant, but I forget who was in that vote. I think
it might have been Austin, D, and Julie.
That's who, yeah. I don't think
three before. And Drew was definitely on the other side with Emily and Sifu.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Which was, he was trying to make something out of nothing because at that point it was throwing someone on the bus. He wanted to keep Caleb, but he tried to work with Keturah. So I applaud him for willing to try to work with Keturah again. Keturah is my, by far, worst player in this season, excluding early on, excluding Brandon, excluding the other girl whose name I already forgot, excluding Hannah. Them. I think that she was by far the worst player. I think she was incredibly, incredibly likable. But I think she burned Jake way more than I think he ended up making the wrong move. Unfortunately, the stars aligned where he ended up having to make these moves with her and it just didn't work out. I think Jake always had the right idea. He could never pull it off. I'm not saying he's a good player, but I for sure don't think that he's one of the worst players ever. A lot of people are saying it though. So I don't think you're crazy for saying that, but I think that Jake always had the right idea. He could just never do it. And I think it's because he never had the people willing to do it. I don't know where the whole thing came. The whole narrative came that Jake was untrustworthy. The only reason he was untrustworthy because he was like fighting for his life for the past like 7 or 8 votes. Like well, as soon as the merge had happened, he was like fighting for his life from that point on. And I don't know what happened there. Like Julie's whole thing of hating Jake because she voted for him like twice. Austin at that point had already voted for her twice too. I don't know why she wasn't upset with him. But my sweet baby Jake deserves some redemption. He's somebody I would love to see play again because I really do think this is what we talk about where you learn and you can play a better second game. But that's my pitch for him is that he always wanted to make the right move. He just never could. He never gave up either, which I applaud for that too. Maybe at one point he kind of gave up, but I think when he realized there was like a slim chance, he got back on board. But that's my Jake. I love Jake. I think Jake next to Ellie might be my favorite player of this season.
Yeah, and I look as well established. Jake is baby girl. If they I'll get behind that. Lovable loser. I think his problem is like. Maybe his moves make some bit of strategic sense, but he's too cute with them. He gets
for sure
all in his head and he's like, I can't just make a positive move. I need to make like a flashy move. Mm-hmm. You know, I think in our group chat, I texted like, you know, he's a real victim of the big move era. This is, you know, Sierra's fault for voting out Laura Moret and putting the dominoes of the big moves era of Survivor. And Jake came up during that time seemingly and became a fan to where it's like everything needs to be flashy. Everything needs to be Tony with his bag of tricks, you know. That's just not the current meta of Survivor in any way. And maybe one day it will become that again. But right now he shoots himself in the foot with these harebrained schemes. And honestly, like, I think if he just goes through that post-immunity, gets a feel for everybody, doesn't say anything about his idol, he probably figures, okay, it is going to be me, you know, who's getting voted for. And then he just plays like it up, like, play like you're getting voted for and you don't have an idol, you know, try to convince people. Don't like play dead because that's like too obvious, but like try to make a move like, please, like keep me X, Y, Z, and then just play your idol at tribal council and get, you know, Julie or D out. Like it's not the flashiest move. You don't have the reaction of Katara being like, oh my God, thanks for saving me. But at least you get who you want out of the game.
I do before Ben tears our sweet boy to shreds. I do think at that point though, the reason why I was really upset when that happened to Keturah, and I think that was very unfortunate. And I think the reasons I said of her burning him before is maybe why he didn't tell her. Because say he does tells her and then actually gives her the idol, and then she tells everybody else to just vote for Jake, that would be catastrophic and embarrassing. So I do think. At that point, when he's already playing with fire, I think the way he went about it was the right way to do it. And I don't know, calling all the votes onto yourself when people almost play meta in a way these days, I wonder if everybody would immediately call bullshit or just split it too.
Just be like, it's fine, everyone can vote for me. Like, play the round like you don't have an idol. Like, pitch Austin on why they should get Julie or D out, you know, play the game. And then it's probably going to be you because that's where it's trending, you know, and this cast hasn't been super, like, crazy with what they're doing. So, you know, they might just want the easy last vote of Jake. I don't know. I've had similar stuff happen to me where, like, okay, everything's lined up. I just need people to do what's in, like, the best interest, and then people screw stuff up. So maybe I'm having like a bad reaction to that aspect, but I don't know.
The only way at this point to, there was no chance that Katara or Jake were going to win this game at this point anyway. I don't think so. I applaud him for making that, like, wanting to make the big move because he knew he had to make it. So I get that. I think either way, I think D goes out, I think Julie or Austin end up winning no matter what. I really don't think that play at that point. But I don't know. I don't know. Cause obviously that's just hypothetical because it didn't happen. I don't think it mattered either way, but I think if you go back to Katara, basically just be willing to coast to go as far as possible, I think that's where I put her way worse than Jake. Maybe she had the social game better down than Jake. But I think in terms of strategic, Jake had all the right ideas, and it was Katara who was either too afraid to make the big move or got her in her own head. And Sweet Jeff also agrees with me. He said it was the biggest unforced error in the history of the game.
It was bad. It was definitely bad. I don't know. I just feel like, you know, I don't know. Jake got in his own way too. Like, Katara definitely biffed it, and I don't understand her logic, quite frankly, at all. Considering it was her idea and the correct idea to vote D out and then to go back on it. Like, at the end of the day, how does the vote, I guess she must have known Austin was voting for Julie, but if she was truly afraid that she was the one getting voted off and that's why she flipped the vote, why did she think Austin was still going to vote for Julie in that?
Maybe she thought Jake was going to play his idol and vote for Julie, maybe. So she was trying to split it.
She doesn't know that because she knows who Jake's voting for because he's voting for who he told her he was going to vote for. Look, at this point, we're just like, Jake played panicked and Katara played afraid, and it's really just splitting hairs to decide like who's worse at Survivor. They're both really horrifically bad Survivor. Like, I think the argument about like which one of them is worse is like kind of pointless. They're both like bottom 10 of the new era for me.
Mm-hmm. I disagree.
Okay. Well, you want me to go through Jake's entire game and tell you why he's bad at Survivor and he is completely responsible for the position that he's in?
I turn the floor over to you so you can do whatever you want.
Okay. Well, up until the final 12, Jake did literally nothing in the entire game because he never went to a tribal council. At the final 12, where we had the split tribal, he basically completely bumbled that round, as we talked about in the podcast. I put way more value on him and Caleb misplaying the relationship with Katara than Katara's misplay in that round. That's first opportunity he gets to play Survivor, he fucks it up. He comes back. He immediately is starting to feed information to Austin and Drew, as we've seen. The next like three-ish rounds, a lot of people were shitting on Katara for feeding information to D, but Jake was doing literally the exact same thing with Drew and got no flack for it with the audience. Yeah.
And to back you up, to the point where Bruce gave Jake fake information because he knew 100% it would get back to the Reba 4.
Mm-hmm. Even when the Reba 4 was actively targeting him, and like him and Katara were doing identically bad things just to progress one round. Katara was doing it with D and Julie. He was doing it with Drew and Austin. There's no difference between what they were doing at that point. And then we get down to, I guess, like right before the Emily boot. Emily is telling Jake that Drew is basically just like using him as like a disposable like tissue. And what does Jake do with this information? He goes immediately to Drew and confronts him and has an argument with him. Why? What does that accomplish? other than awesome. Blowing up your spot and ruining any chance you have of actually being brought down to the end. If Drew is the one who controls this endgame instead of D, not only is he completely dead in the water, he's completely dead in the water even more than he already is with D controlling the endgame, because now Drew has no motivation to take him further because he's burnt that bridge for no reason, even though he had the information to not burn it. This is literally worse than what Katara did. At least Katara was consistent in being a rat for D.
I think Jake's biggest flaw, now that we're like fleshing all these things out, he's too New England-y. He plays too much with his heart than his head. I do think, I mean, a big error too that we docked Katara for, and I still think she was probably the biggest culprit of this too, was the obsession of everybody to get Bruce out for whatever reason. I mean, we talked about it then too, and so I don't throw that on Katara as much, because I think, at least I know I was saying for the final two episodes before Bruce was voted out, was why everybody was so hell bent on getting Bruce voted out. When at that point I thought Bruce was the worst player left in the show, because just how much he seemed so unlikable and hateable to everybody else that was left on the island. Maybe that's a testament to how unlikable and hateable he was, that everybody just didn't care and just wanted to get him out. But I guess I don't dock at her as much as that as everybody else does for hatred. I mean, she did. It was weird though. It was like Lyanna from 41, where it seemingly just came out of nowhere and she hated Bruce from the very beginning. Somebody brought up a good point though, that when she brought up the whole background of like the cult, of Bruce potentially reminding her of like the cult figure that she was supposed to marry and like always bossing her around. So I guess that's like a whole different dive into.
Yeah, I don't want to go too deep into that. I don't know much that was more like, about her life than the, you know, than what she shared, but I think.
Than them forcing like her to talk to her mom, who she hasn't talked to in
3 years. Yeah, that's fucked up. That's another wild. Did not enjoy that from Survivor. Yeah. I think one thing that gets a little lost is, so we had Lulu, by far the worst like challenge, you know, Oolong move over, was it Ravu in Survivor Fiji, get out of here, terrible. But then Bello comes in. And they might be the worst group of strategists ever assembled for a tribe.
Complete self implosion.
Horribly, yeah. All of them uniquely horrible at Survivor, and it's just so impressive.
Yeah, well, I mean, even Dee references this in her final tribal council speech. She's like, "Yeah, I mean, Survivor has luck. I was lucky to have been put on Reba," which is true. Yeah, she is lucky to have been put on Reba. Because like looking back at the season, there was no way for a non-Reba to win this season. It was just not going to happen. It was not.
I don't want to pat myself on my back. Maybe Drew didn't win, but I did pick Reba as my tribe.
You did. That was your tribe.
Mm-hmm. Numbers were in my favor.
Yeah. For me, the tribe of people who I least could like, you know, because I love the strategy aspect of the game. So rooting for Bella was like my personal nightmare. I can deal with losing challenges fine. We've all been there. But not being able to like formulate any plan just is horrible.
I was gonna say, as long as you're counting Jake as a one of the worst players ever post merge, then I'll accept that. Because I refuse to take in Brandon as if not one of the worst players ever. I stand my ground.
He was like okay. Here's the difference. If Brandon were like, you know, 40 pounds lighter and in shape, like I think he would do fine.
Yeah.
Like all you have to do is put in like the minimal amount of effort to prepare for Survivor from a physical component, and he actually would have been okay. Like he would have survived the first tribal council even if Hannah didn't quit, from what we understand. From a social perspective, given how bad he is at challenges, that's impressive. Like, I don't think that, like, I think Brandon is, like, definitely one of the worst physical competitors of all time. But, like, that's
he's gotta be.
That's a very easy thing to fix. Or not easy, but, like, it's a very simple
thing. It's fixable.
It's fixable, yes.
I
don't think the level of strategic incompetence that both Jake and Katara showed is, like, very, is that is as, like, simply fixable.
I agree. I mean, yeah, like you said, little P90X before going on Survivor could have changed his life. Jake lost weight to go on Survivor, so yep. Like it would, that at least was on his mind, you know, before going out. And I think that was the correct thing to do for him, set him up for success.
No his one ever, first and last correct strategic decision.
Yeah. No one ever said like Jake was, you know, bad in the Premier's challenges. So like, you know, that was great for him. And winning pre-merge challenges, especially in the new era, can get you far because the game really doesn't start till the merge anyways. Maybe not even till the, you know, after the mergatory these days. Merge. Yeah, the actual merge. And even then
you demerge again.
Demerge. Yeah. Then after that, then the game actually is on for real. But yeah, no, I mean, it was just impressive. I didn't realize like in the moment how bad Bella was, but like as just like weeks went by and it just like everything stacked on each other. Definitely, you know that Homelander meme where he's just like staring at the screen with like a disgusted look on his face. That was me watching this group try to get it together.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's odd. I don't know. It's very odd. I mean, look, this season for me is like if it's very Gabon Nicaragua-esque, but with like you know, an actual like higher tier winner.
Fabio, not a higher tier winner.
Look, I love Fabio, and you know, I would have traded Fabio for like you know most of the men on Winners at War. So
same. Bob Crowley,
yeah.
Ben. I think they both have the two lowest like correct voting percentages for winners, so that's fair. Mm-hmm. You know, I enjoy them both very much as characters in the show, but yeah, no, it was, you know, it was just an interesting cast to be sure, and then
I think it does. I think it proves a point though that I think at this stage, too, I'd much rather the interesting characters and the better players.
Oh yeah,
for sure. Especially after like the previous seasons. Like I know my biggest complaint was that everybody was super fan, and there were a lot of super fans on this season too. But I think everybody was more. It was less. That was their gameplay. Was that I'm the super fan. I'm going to do what this and this person does. I did love Jake though, keeping the numbers by winners of seasons. I thought that was cool, especially because it was all seasons I've seen. So that was nice.
Could have been bad though. Spoiled.
I don't know. I don't know because maybe that's why I'm blinded by my love for Jake too. Because I love the character so much, and and there were so many people that I ended up hating because of that factor. Recent season, I hate's a strong word, but disliking because of recent seasons because of that whole super fan thing, like thrown in our face. Especially 41. 41 was really bad with that. I think that turned me off for a while. But maybe that's why this season has saved it so much too, is because there was just so many genuine characters on this season that just meshed really, really well. This is definitely the season that I hope the most returning players come from. If they do only a new season, a new era returning season, I definitely hope a majority of them come from this season.
Yeah. No, agreed. I think one thing I did like that you brought up this now with Jake, you know, referencing back, Austin and Dee referencing Rob and Amber. This felt like the first new era season that like wasn't afraid to be like, yeah, this is Survivor with like this long storied past. Like it felt a little bit like the other seasons were trying to be like, this is its own thing. It's new. You know, the game's a monster now. You know, we have all this. Whereas this season felt more like a traditional season where it's like, we're building off of the over two decades of history that this show has, which I prefer.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I do agree. I think this for me was like probably the most overall likable cast of the new era as well. There wasn't really like anybody I strongly disliked. Like even Bruce by the end, I came around to being like neutral on.
Right.
But definitely a lot of really frustrating, albeit entertaining gameplay, but as far as like the people and the characters go, yeah, definitely very likable cast.
I think that's also why I would really like to see Katara and Jake return, because like I said, that whole thing of learning your mistakes so much. Mm-hmm. Oh, I would love them together. Like I said, I thought that their dynamic too, because it's something I never even really thought of after the go to Rocks vote with Caleb. I thought that their dynamic worked really well too. We got an early glimpse of it at the beginning of the season too, where she wanted to vote him out when she found out that he was a lawyer.
Whole thing. I forgot about that.
I think that they worked very well together. Like I said, I liked her a lot. It's not like a dislike thing. I liked her. I think she almost, other than Emily, more than anybody, in terms of who turned it around to go from either neutral, because I never disliked Keturah, but to go from neutral into well liked, I think Keturah is definitely right there. Because like her arc at the end, even though gameplay wise there was nothing for me, her arc at the end socially was very intriguing to watch, and I think that's a testament to the 90 minutes again. I don't think that we would get a lot of that in other seasons. Obviously we get the backstory from that, but I still think that it was obvious that people on the island like Keturah a lot. And I think when you get that island life, you start to see why and why you like people. And I think we've said, I mean, I can't name any players, but we say about the previous New Era seasons too, of like, why do so many people like this person? Well, like, and why are so many people willing to like keep them in or not vote for them or things like that? And we never really knew why, where this season it's more understandable. Obviously, some people want to keep Keturah because she wasn't the greatest of players, but also it's because she was incredibly likable, and we got the exposure to that and saw why. I mean, the 90 minutes just worked so well. And production definitely deserves the credit too, because they fixed so many things. They're definitely listening to this podcast. They fixed, they're one of the five listeners. They listen to what we say. They've corrected. They've steered the ship correctly now.
Jeffrey credit is to them. With bated breath right now waiting what we thought of it.
Yeah. I will say, on the topic of Keturah, I agree. I really like Keturah as a person. Like, you know, I will definitely like heavily criticize her game, but like as a person, like she seems lovely. Yeah. And like, she's very like likable and compelling. And I definitely,
a
I don't,
civil
I don't,
rights I, lawyer.
Yeah. Like,
that's very
from, I don't think that Dylan has seen the season to know this comparison, but like her kind of like path and like existence in the game reminded me a lot of Dreams, where both of them have like this very like uniquely traumatic past that like heavily informed the way they played Survivor, and that led to them playing like what in a vacuum would be considered bad, but like it's, you can kind of see the like way that their like lived experiences each kind of led to them playing that the way they did in both cases. And Dreams is somebody else who at the time was like very heavily like, you know, chided by the fan base, like had a lot of very negative reaction. And I think over time people kind of, you know, did some retrospective look back on him and were like, hey, you know, Dreams literally spent, you know, the bulk of his life being homeless, and maybe that would inform the way that he played Survivor, and maybe he's not like a bad person, he's just like, you know, or he's not just like a bad player because of X, Y, and Z, but it's because the way that his life has affected his like outlook on reality and his outlook on things informed how he approached the game.
Yeah, not to spoil anything, but one thing in particular makes a lot more sense when you grow up and you realize, you know, the life that Dreams had to live. I think it's a great point. Also, crazy, two Fiji references on this episode. Crazy. Mm-hmm. But I think underrated season personally, but
well, they keep coming back to the location, so they got to know something about it.
Exactly. I think it gets a bad rap because, you know, Mario said it wasn't very funny. Yeah, well, that too. But Mario said it, like, had the least funny moments. But I think it's a good season. Very compelling, nonetheless. And some very interesting challenges.
It's very bleak. It's a very bleak season.
It's a bleak season.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the most unfair twist. Debatably with the Outcasts, you know, that's also insanely unfair twist, but definitely totally understand what you're saying there, Ben. I guess really all there's left to do is like kind of like give Julie, you know, like what we think of her game, as a whole. I enjoyed it as like the one of the very few, you know, mother archetypes who like escaped the being like pushed to the side. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're the mom, you're not taking that seriously, you know, the Don kind of like outcome, which I enjoyed a lot.
I do want to correct myself real quick before we move on, though, that I did not read the full quote, that Jeff did not say Katara's move was the biggest enforced error of the game. His exact quote was Katara and Jake blew it. Jake wanted to make a big move in front of the jury, so he withheld valuable information from Katara that he was going to play the idol for her. And Katara was never able to fully trust Jake for obvious reasons, so she switched her vote. The combination of those two moves was probably the biggest unforced error of the game. The result was positive for Dee and negative for Julie. If Julie is there in the end instead of Dee, I think she wins. Entertainment Weekly trying to get me mm-hmm. with that clickbait.
There you go.
My mind has not changed through all this. You know,
we haven't changed your mind. Yeah,
there's got to be conspiracy theorists on this podcast, so I got to just stick to like I got to stick to my belief, even though things are thrown in my face to counteract otherwise. So
look, I'm a big criticizer of Jeff, but I co-sign that take. I would say even during the episode. I sent a text saying that Jake in particular was like making a huge unforced error by telling Austin in the first place. I definitely agree. I think that I think unforced error was like the subtitle of Jake's Survivor 45 experience. it does feel like it's been sold to us that Jake was in a lot of the positions he was by like happenstance or by bad fortune, but I 100% stand by the majority of the reason that Jake was in those positions to begin with was him making a number of unforced errors.
Yeah. Anyways, so Jeff thinks that Julie would have won had she made it to the end instead of Dee. Do you guys agree with that assessment?
Yeah, that seems to be the case.
Yeah, I said earlier, I mean, I still think, like I said at that point, I don't think Katara or Jake had any chance of actually winning the game. I think maybe they could fight for second at that point, but I think it was always going to be someone for Reba, and that was left to that final five. I don't know. I mean, at that point, if we get down to Austin and Julie there instead of Dee and Austin, I still think Julie had probably at least – had the likability from everybody to go forward with it.
And really, as a lawyer, maybe the
child. I was gonna say, she had the lawyer background to talk up in tribal. So, yeah, I mean, if I had to bet, I would bet Julie at that point. I think Austin really, really threw away his game telling Dee about Julie, unfortunately.
Julie could have had the exact same, like, bomb drop that Dee had as well.
Yeah. I think he saved himself if he was voted out in that episode by Julie from having like one of the single worst performances in an episode like ever. It just in terms of like just complete self-destruction. I don't know if it was beyond saving, but I think he was definitely like 1 foot in the grave.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely the 1-2 punch of that, followed by him allowing Drew to get blindsided alongside himself. That was pretty much unrecoverable, I think, at that point.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe the worst round of Survivor. In terms of not getting voted off. You can get voted off, that's, you know, mm-hmm. obviously the worst round, but if you're not going to get voted off, that's probably the worst case scenario.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that would have been like it would have been very poetic. Like, I think from a narrative perspective, it might have been like I think the narrative the season ended up having was good, but I think that, you know, him getting voted out there instead of Emily would have just been such karmic justice, 100%.
Yeah, no, definitely. So, very fun. He was the alternate. Can't wait to find out somewhere down the line who's the alternate for, whether that person, you know, gets on another season or maybe even another show. I mean, they mentioned Davey. who was the alternate for Jared Fields, who's on Big Brother this past season. So we'll see there.
Yeah, 100%. I guess, do we have anything else that we really wanted to dig into here? I feel like it was like a really meaty finale, but there isn't like a ton to really diagnose.
I think it was very entertaining, but yeah, there's not a whole lot to really dissect. I think we've touched everything. The after show, there was really nothing. I don't know if they even confirmed if Dee and Austin. Well, like, too soon actually, because that's not. No time has passed.
Right.
I have no confirmation if Dee and Austin are together in real life. Which obviously that's what we all. That's the burning question there. I mean, she said it was real. She said that the romance was real, which surprised me because I feel like at that point you kind of like brush it off. But she did just win $1 million, so or that was before she that was during trouble. But no, that's pretty much it. And like I said, I found the preview that they showed for next season very, very underwhelming. But I mean, I vaguely remember being pretty underwhelmed by the preview for this season too. So.
I thought the preview for 45 was pretty good.
I actually don't even remember. I might have purposely not watched it to like not make a judgment before.
Yeah. I agree though. This felt more like a teaser than a trailer to me.
Yeah. We have a month until they probably really start ramping up.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing for me is they just like there wasn't enough. Like they utilized too much like stuff from Off the Island. Like too much. Yeah. Like I appreciate them trying something different, I guess, with showing all of their casting videos. I think they're trying to like do a huge push for like, hey, cast, we want more people in casting for next season. So look at all these people. They put out like really shitty, you know, 480p, you know, videos and they got on.
Right.
I've convinced myself I'm gonna submit one eventually.
Yeah.
Why not? Gotta do it.
Edit it for you. Like,
gotta get that badge for my Survivor fandom that I submitted.
All the advice, like we can talk to survivors and ask their advice.
I'm just gonna send in this this video here. I'm gonna say white one with I'm the white one with the beard. White one with the facial hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean all of the advice I've heard is basically just like figure out something like what's unique about you and your story and then like really go all in on that and like deep dive on it. It's kind of
I'll lead off saying I think that Jake is arguably a good player.
Okay.
So that'll be like the voiceover.
Okay, but like you and like, you know, half of the people on the Survivor Facebook page. I mean
yeah, nice voiceover, it'll be like a picture of Jake and then that's how you start. That's how you grab their attention.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, no, I love it. I hope you do. I hope you get on it. If not that, maybe one of us can get on Squid Games, the series. I don't know.
Real Squid Games, yeah, let's go for it. If I don't make Survivor, I want to go on Real Squid Games.
At this point, yeah, just the Real Squid Games, not the series, just whatever happens. No, but I think there are so many great shows out right now that you know, there's so many that I'd want to play. You know, The Circle, like I would love to go on that. Big Brother, I go back and forth. The live feed people are kind of freaks, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know about that in particular, but
short attention span.
That's true. That's the forget about you if you intentionally step out of the limelight.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I think this is a renaissance for reality TV. Honestly, as we've said before, I don't want to really be on it. I want to make it. I want to be the producer. So I mean, if you're interested in helping that happen, Ben and I have a game we've been working on for years,
a decade
in the making. Subscribe to this, tell your friends, so maybe we can start making some money. Also, there'll be a link to a new channel in the description down below that we're going to launch in the new year called Game Bots, which we're going to do, you know, not podcasts, but like more in-depth look at specific strategic moves within social strategy games and break those down to hopefully build that and then build this podcast up through that, you know, make it, you know, synergy and all that. So please subscribe to the Game Bots channel. for hopefully some good videos coming up. You know, I at least want to get invited when these YouTubers do collabs and they, you know, have like 10 different Survivor creators. I'm always like, why not us? Why not the Blindsiders? I could give you a who should be on a season of all finalists you didn't win pick. Come on.
Yeah, that's what keeps me up at night, you know?
It really does.
No, but yeah, 100%. And like, you know, the game bot style is tongue in cheek, for sure. Like we're gonna be, you know, I try and you know, analyze things from like a game theory perspective, but also keep the emotions in the game, because I think that's something that gets overlooked a lot by these game bot people. So, you know, I think that there's a lot to potentially go into there, and it should be fun.
I've been Agreed. Given two holographic Pokemon cards.
Oh, hell
yeah. That's amazing. Our first guest of the show, Meredith.
Hello. Meredith. but yeah, no, Dylan, you'll be on the first season of the game that Ben and I made.
I would love it. I'd love to.
But yeah, other than that, Ben, are we going to cover Big Brother Reindeer Games after it ends tonight?
I think we'll probably try and put out like at least a short thing. I know it's, yeah, we're coming up on the holidays here, so we kind of it's kind of a bad timing. But yeah, I personally, you know, the finale of Reindeer Games is like after our recording tonight, but I've very much enjoyed the season. And it definitely exceeded my very low expectations. So yeah, I'm down to talk about it for sure.
Yeah, agreed. I've loved it. So check out the Have Not Room on this channel for that. Wicked Good Everything just put out a new video about gambling and why I have concerns about how certain things are being run in the gambling industry. But yeah, other than that, check out the Wicked Good Sports channel, Wicked Good Everything, this channel. Dylan, anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
No, yeah, same thing. Just follow me on DJ Cleverlang on Twitter. I do have two guests that want to say see you next season, but we'll cut back to me at the end. But yeah, follow me there. Follow the new shows. I would love to play. I would love to play that new game. Yeah, it sounds great. Do you guys want to say it? No. Yes. No. Just say see you next season.
See you next season.
You want to say it? No. Okay. All right, well, we got one of two, so these are not paid guests, so that is all for me. I will see you guys in season 46.